There's a story told about Albert Einstein, a time when he was traveling by train from Princeton. When the conductor came to punch his ticket, he reached into his vest pocket and it wasn't there. So he checked the other vest pocket, his pants. He could not find the ticket. He pulled his briefcase out, looked through there. The ticket wasn't there. He began to check the seat, see if it had fallen there. He couldn't find it. The conductor just finally said, "Dr. Einstein, everybody knows who you are. Don't worry about a ticket. We're honored to have you on this train." The conductor moved on. But as he was going down the aisle punching tickets, he noticed that Einstein had climbed out of his seat, was down on his hands and knees and looking underneath the bench where he was seated. And he ran back to him and said, "Dr. Einstein, please, please, you do not need to get your ticket. We know who you are. You don't need a ticket." And Einstein looked up at him and said, "Young man, you know who I am. I know who I am. But I don't remember where I'm going. I need my ticket." Now, in many ways, that's a silly story, of course. But isn't it true you need to know where you're going? It's not just a matter of setting out, but sometimes we need to know how to get there. That's an important detail, which is part of why this story in the Gospel of Matthew is so remarkable. Here are three men who had a direction, but they didn't know their final destination. When we talk about the Magi, the wise men, that's one of the things that we could easily overlook. They were apparently following this star and a prophecy, but they had no idea where they were going. So let me read to you, beginning in Matthew chapter 2, the first verse. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. They said, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" I want you to think for a moment. We talked about the shepherds on Christmas Eve, but today we want to focus on the Magi. Here they are, setting out looking for the king of the Jews. Now, there's no GPS, no internet, just a special star directing them to their destination, wherever that is. It turns out that it was Bethlehem, but they didn't know that to begin with. And I thought about that. I thought, when you get to Bethlehem, then where do you look? Because the star shows a pretty big area. I mean, it may come to rest over something or point to something, but which house, which stable, which lot do you look for? And yet, they left their home in the east for a journey to the west to an unknown land because they had seen something in the heavens and they knew it was far too important to ignore. I think obviously you have to have faith to do something like that. And when you stop to think, what they did was incredible. Their journey was to an unknown place. And imagine trying to explain that to family and friends. "We're leaving today. We've seen the star. We're not sure where we're going, but we know something about a king. We don't know who the king is, exactly where to find this king, but we're going to go. We're going to take some gifts." You might have said, if you were part of their family, "You know, let's go talk about this. Just, I think it's something you need to reconsider." But those wise men were risk takers, willing to follow wherever the star might lead. Now, these stargazers, as I said, knew that a king was to be born, but they had no idea where. They might have assumed that this would take place in Jerusalem. It was known as a holy city, but Jerusalem was not their destination. It was actually King Herod who pointed out that it would be Bethlehem. Matthew tells us that when Herod heard about these sojourners, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So Herod called together the chief priests, his religious advisors, the teachers of the law, and asked them where Christ was to be born. Well, reading from the prophet, they quoted to Herod, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is where the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Herod hears this. He is disturbed. He is, as we know, paranoid. He doesn't like any competition. In fact, he tends to kill his competition. But he calls the Magi secretly. he found out the exact time that the star had appeared. He's starting to put together the pieces of the puzzle because he wants to know where the threat is to him. And then he sends them, as the prophecy said, to Bethlehem, telling them, go and make a careful search for the child. But as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. So here's Herod pointing the wise men to Bethlehem. But let's be honest, Herod has ulterior motives. This may be the beginning of the distrust the Magi had for Herod, because they probably suspected that something else was going on. Matthew continues, after the Magi had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them till it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And then coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Now the scriptures tell us that these wise men were overjoyed when the star stopped. But I also wonder if there might have been some apprehension in their hearts. Because you know where the star stopped. It wasn't a palace. It wasn't even a nice residence. It was a stable, a place where you kept livestock. And maybe they might have thought, this can't be right. Or maybe Herod misled us and it's not here at all. Maybe we've made this journey in vain. I mean, those thoughts would have been normal, of course. They might have gone back to Herod and complained, you misled us, you misunderstood. It's got to be somewhere else. It can't be in a stable. Which is part of why this story is so important to us. Because for us, sometimes dreams, these hopes, these ambitions we have do turn to dust. Or we become discouraged or we despair. I wonder how many people give up. And maybe we're the ones who give in because reality doesn't measure up to expectations. See, that's the danger of not listening to the voice of God or the direction that God gives us. I think, like the Magi, we're all searching for some meaning and purpose in life. We're all hoping to fill that God-shaped hole in our souls, but even after we find God, as the Magi did, we still have to decide something important, whether or not we will worship him. There's lots of people who believe in God or a higher power or a spiritual force, but that doesn't mean they follow, that they give their hearts to, that it's important in their lives. See, the act of worship is the culmination of this visit by the Magi. It's not the visit itself that's important. It's that they recognized who they were before. And they gave their hearts, their gifts, their lives to this person in an act of worship. God does not always act like we expect God to act. And life does not always send us to palaces. Sometimes you and I are going to be sent to a very different place. Something like a stable, perhaps. And then we're faced with a decision. Will we listen to our faith, or will we listen to our fears? How many people have said, this is not going the way I think it should go. It's not turning out like I expected. And we're presupposing that God is not in that moment when we say that. The Magi followed the star, hoping to find something of great consequence, but what they found was a poor family with a baby. And for some of those wisest persons in the world at that time, that easily could have been discouraging. But Matthew writes, they decided to believe, and they worshiped. That decision shaped their lives profoundly. Having faith in where the journey led them also gave them the faith to keep listening as God had more to say to them. So Matthew writes, beginning in verse 12, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. They went home by a different road. I think that statement is far more than meets the eye. Certainly, the Magi were avoiding Herod, and they didn't take the expected route. But I think it's fair to say that their encounter with Jesus also touched their hearts. And they went home different, changed. You might say their road home was different, not so much because of the route they took, but because of the change brought about when they finally found the Lord. That's an old, old story that keeps coming back. Because I've learned over the years that we're all different when we meet Jesus. When we come finally face to face with how much God loves us. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, when anyone is in Christ, it is a whole new world. The old things are gone. Suddenly, everything is new. Pastor Mark Laverton told a story of a man in his church, a man named Ben. Now, Ben was a very successful man. His professional life flourished. Now, he had the challenges with teenage kids. But for him, his Christian faith was a distant, disconnected reality. It didn't really matter much to him. I mean, he would show up on Christmas and Easter, but that's only because the family dragged him there. It didn't really matter to him. Until one day, something started nagging at him. Maybe some sort of star appeared in his mind's eye. And he began talking to his wife, even to Pastor Laverton. He had questions, perfectly normal. He had doubts, that's normal. But then Pastor Laverton shared the story that one Sunday I was pleased to see Ben in church, he said. As he approached me at the door afterwards, his eyes began to fill with tears. And I asked him, what's going on? Ben said that he had been on a business trip, had traveled to Washington, D.C., and while there, he decided to visit the National Cathedral. And here in this huge cathedral, in the capital of our country, he found a little side chapel where he went in and sat down, just to have a quiet moment. But Ben said, while he was there, an unexpected and unsought thing happened. He said, I felt God's Spirit simply come upon me. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't a voice. He felt the Spirit of God come. And he said, there in that side chapel in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., I became a new person. Because the awe and wonder of God's grace and truth went well beyond my mind and just permeated my soul. It went beyond my questions, my needs. God simply met me there and changed me. Ben said it was as though his life was utterly redefined. And he said it has been that way ever since. I think when I read Ben's story, I saw clearly the similarity between his story and the story of the Magi. Because in both cases, they went home by a different road. Transformed when they met the Savior Jesus Christ. But this story is also our story because I've learned that the different road is clearly marked for each of us. You may think you're going one way in life and God just put something out there for you to pay attention to. So let's go a different way. And it's in that journey, in that walk, that we meet and find the love of the Savior. So today, I want to encourage you to take that different road. It'll make all the difference in the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the story of these wise men who were wise enough to follow a star and to listen to your voice over and above the voice of predictability and jealousy and anger. To even discern that there's a different way home as their lives have been transformed when they met you. And this is our story. The opportunity to go home by a different way that our lives would be changed and transformed. It begins with simply sitting and allowing your Spirit to hold us. To hear again how much we are loved. And in that moment comes joy. It's suddenly all things are new. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, when I was a teenager, we lived in Germany, and we took a trip to the southern part of Germany and to an area near Garmisch. And there we saw Neuschwanstein, King Ludwig's great castle, but My family said, let's go and climb up on the Zugspitz. Now, there's portions of the Zugspitz you can walk on. We were not doing rock climbing. But we walked up these trails, and there were decisions we had to make about which way we would go. A lot of the trails said this is easier for people who were, you know, new to this. But we decided to take a little more difficult trail, a different route. And suddenly we came to a glacier. There was a tunnel carved in this glacier by a mountain stream. As the snows melted, it had formed this incredible chasm through there that we walked through. And it was beautiful, the sunlight flickering through the glacier, just being inside this ice giant. And then we came out on the other end, and we were at this plateau on the mountainside that was absolutely beautiful. There were grasses growing up there. The sun was shining. If we had gone the conventional route, we would have never seen it. But because we went to a different way, God revealed some beauty to us that we didn't even know was there. I believe that's what God does for us in life. He calls us to take that unconventional route sometimes, to stop and to love, to help, to bring joy, comfort. I pray that you will take that different road home as you go now in peace and go in love. Amen.